The world's economies run on their supply chains. Understanding them is the key to keeping global products moving. Welcome to Supply Chain in the Fast Lane, a series of business podcasts co-produced by the Council of Supply Chain Management Professionals and Supply Chain Quarterly. In this series of episodes, we explore the importance of finding and retaining labor in our supply chains. Supply Chain in the Fast Lane is brought to you by Vonderlande, a provider of warehouse automation solutions for today's most dynamic e-commerce, retail, and omni-channel customers. This series is also brought to you by Scope Recruiting, former supply chain and procurement professionals who find top talent for their clients, ranging from startups to Fortune 500. Here now is your moderator, Supply Chain Quarterly's managing editor, Diane Rand.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us. Our guest today is Rosemary Coates, Executive Director of the Reshoring Institute. Rosemary, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Well, given all the supply chain disruptions that we have faced over the past few years, more and more companies are considering reshoring or nearshoring manufacturing or production. One sticking point that often comes up is concerns about not having enough people in the U.S. or surrounding countries with the type of specialized skills you need. How valid a concern is this?
Oh, I think that's very valid. You know, in the early 2000s, we started moving production offshore to China, and with it went the entire supply chain. So all the suppliers and so forth ended up essentially being in China as well. And during that period, because we lost so much production, we also lost skill levels things like tool and die making, electricians, welders. These are trades that were minimized during this period. So now, as we're bringing manufacturing back and rethinking how we manufacture, we need to retrain people for the workforce. And we're going to limp along, I think, for a couple of years until we get that done.
So how do you think we can overcome some of these labor shortage challenges and make reshoring a reality? Is it getting more labor into, you know, programs that, you know, whether it's a certification or whatever they need, the training, what specifically do you think that we could do to kind of help speed that along?
Yeah, I think there are opportunities across the board. So from entry-level manufacturing jobs all the way up through supply chain professionals and executives in manufacturing and supply chain, there are needs across the board. I think the part of the problem is, though, our politicians and a lot of our policies and so forth are focused on jobs, when actually the problem is training and education. We need to focus more on training and education so that we have a trained workforce that can step into a manufacturing environment. And I think that's going to mostly land on the shoulders of community colleges throughout America. You know, we have a wonderful system of community colleges who now are teaching courses that are sort of a crossover between just basic manufacturing and engineering. So most of those manufacturing jobs now require mathematics skills, computer operations, understanding of robotics, things that are not fully an engineering job, but are not a basic manufacturing job either. They're somewhere in the middle. And the community colleges are right smack and dab in that space. And I think they're gonna pick up the burden and get people trained up over the next couple of years.
So beyond just some of the community college opportunities, which sounds like a wonderful kind of hybrid where you can learn the skills necessary for these specific jobs, but what are some best practices that you may have seen in terms of training potential workers beyond just the community college avenue?
I think the best companies out there are thinking ahead. So, you know, we know there are a few disasters that happened because a company decided to bring manufacturing back and they didn't pay attention to the skilled workers that were going to be needed. And they were not successful for a while, or they limped along until they got a trained workforce. So I think the best practices are not just to focus on training, but also to think ahead. So what skills am I going to need for my environment, whether it's a factory or warehouse or entry-level supply chain people? What are those skills and how do I work with my educational institutions nearby to produce workers for those that can fill those roles? And then the other thing is that many cities and states are now providing educational incentives. So they will reimburse companies for getting people trained up or a low cost tuition for colleges and universities. So this is, you know, we're all moving in the right direction. It's just that it you can't just snap your fingers and expect it to be done. It's going to happen over time.
Exactly. So what role do you feel technology and automation can play in alleviating some of these labor concerns, maybe in the short term? Do you feel that automation is at a level where it is a, you know, viable alternative in manufacturing and distribution, or, you know, we still are on our way to getting there?
Well, absolutely. Automation is the key because through automation, you can extract labor costs. And as you know, we have high labor costs in the US, so we can't compete. If we were just head to head on labor costs, we couldn't compete. So to solve that problem, you have to implement technology and extract that labor cost, which is all fine. You can get capital investment money, and you know there are ways to automate and re-engineer your production line. But you also have to, as I mentioned before, you have to train the workers so that instead of having people that put pegs and holes, now you've got people who can run the robot that puts pegs and holes, and those are different skill sets. So learning to run robots and operating machine tools and so forth, these are higher skill levels. They're also higher paying jobs and essential to rebuilding the middle class in America.
What is the average, would you say, time frame? So let's say I wanted to switch careers and do something, you know, in the supply chain. I need the training. What kind of time frame am I looking at? I know it probably varies on the certain skills and what job you're, you know, trying to train for. But about average, how much time would you say people are, you know, it takes to get people skilled and trained?
Yeah, so I think of it as a continuum. I think if you're looking for, say, a warehouse job, mm-hmm. which, you know, used to be you carried boxes around. Today's environment, you're managing robots that go and pick off the shelves and place shipments in line for shipment. So, you know, that's a different level of skill. So warehouse automation, entry-level manufacturing skills, machine tool operations, all those things are probably a 18-month to two-year path, a training and career path from either community college or a technical training school. But if you look up the continuum from there, supply chain people, which, you know, we have a shortage, particularly in women who are going into supply chain. That's typically a four-year degree, and there are many great programs that have been established over the last couple of years across universities all across America. And those are supply chain operations people and professionals that help run the global business. And then on top of that, we also have a need for strategists, and those are MBAs usually or masters in engineering, who can think globally about the strategy of supply chain management. So it's a continuum from, you know, entry-level skills and requirements there through a professional profile from college graduates all the way to executive management with a master's degree.
Okay, thank you. That was very helpful because I was just curious. As a mom of kids that are going to be heading off to college, I've always been telling them about this industry and how amazing and how many opportunities. So I was just curious what the time would be for.
Funny you should say that. I have a grandson that just graduated from the University of Kentucky. And while he was in business school, he's got a management marketing degree. But I kept telling him, take a supply chain class, and he was, you know, reluctant, and finally he did. He's like, wow, this is really interesting, Grandma. So and now he's looking for a supply chain job. So I think it is interesting. I mean, it's very global in nature. It probably involves travel around the world, maybe. It's a complex, it's technology driven. It's got all the kind of goodies that you would look for in a new job.
Well, do you think that there are any myths or misconceptions about the current labor pool in North America that companies may have?
I think companies understand. Most companies will say there's a shortage of labor. We can't find skilled workers, especially in rural areas. It's really difficult. I think the bigger gap that we have to cross is instructing, making our politicians know and understand this is not about jobs, jobs, jobs. It's about skilled, trained labor. And so the money and emphasis should be put on training and skilling. So cross-training people who maybe worked in the coal industry who now need to work in the wind industry. So, there are skills and training and crossover to fill those open jobs now and in the future, especially in the green economy, and getting our government and politicians to talk about skills and training and not so much about just creating jobs.
Definitely working on the messaging sounds like a great place to start for sure. Well, Rosemary, thank you for your time today. It was such a pleasure speaking with you. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Well, today we've been talking with Rosemary Coates, Executive Director of the Reshoring Institute, and this has been Supply Chain in the Fast Lane.
Supply Chain in the Fast Lane is a co-production of the Council of Supply Chain Management Professionals and Supply Chain Quarterly. This episode has been brought to you by Scope Recruiting, former supply chain and procurement professionals who find top talent for their clients, ranging from startups to Fortune 500. This episode is also brought to you by Vonderlande, whose fully integrated portfolio solves the complex needs of the world's leading companies by seamlessly integrating innovative systems, configurable software, and full lifecycle services. Please subscribe to Supply Chain in the Fast Lane wherever you get your podcasts.